Good morning, church family. We just want to welcome you all. So glad to see you. Special welcome to our online guests as well, wherever you are joining us from. We know that you will be blessed, man. Is there a word in store for you today? So blessed, so blessed. Can I invite you to stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, Lord. Thank you for all you do for us. Thank you that in you we are free, Lord. Thank you that you are always with us, that you always protect us. Thank you that you bless us continually every day, Lord. May we not forget what we have. Thank you for everything, Father God. Jesus, we praise you. You, our Savior, has called us friend. And we worship you today. We want to sing a hallelujah. A hallelujah of gratitude, Lord, for all that you do for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, by that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me?
Yes.
For how you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend.
We worship you.
more love than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I've never been more loved than I am right now.
Now
got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never knew. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move, with my arms stretched so wide, oh, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Shout me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shout me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I
but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing Alleluia, Alleluia. Just worship Him.
Yes, Lord, it's so wonderful to worship You together as believers, Lord. You're an awesome, awesome God. You are wonderful, Lord. You are so worthy of all of our praises, Lord. We adore You. We're in awe of who and who You are. And thank You, Lord, that we get to experience Your manifest, tangible presence. We love Your presence, Lord. We love encountering You. We love getting to know You better and better, Lord. We love experiencing the love that You have for us, Lord. And we worship You this morning, Lord. And we are just so grateful. Grateful for who You are. Grateful for what You've done. Grateful for what You're doing in our lives. Grateful for what You're yet to do, Lord. And we have a good expectation because You're a good, good God. You're a good Father. And thank You, Lord, that we can all get to know You even better and better this morning as we hear Your word, Lord, as we learn more about You. We are so expectant. and our hearts are open to receive from you, Lord. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, media team. Wasn't that amazing? Praise God. I think we had a real taste of heaven this morning. That was wonderful worship, sir. Thank you so much to the worship team. Well, my name is Janu, and it's my privilege to welcome you this morning. Then we would like to give you an opportunity to give this morning. And I want to read out of Ephesians 4, verse 28, where the Bible says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. So I just like this scripture, you know, it says it's good to work, but then it tells us what one of the purposes of work is. It's so that we can have something to give and to share. I think sometimes we can, you know, think, I worked so hard for my money, why do I need to share it with anyone? Why do I need to give, you know, to the kingdom? But we must always be mindful that God gives us the power to get wealth. And it's because of His gifts and His talents that He gives us freely that we're able to work and able to make money. And the Bible just reminds us here that, you know, we work, we receive money so that we can also share and give. We're blessed so that we can also be a blessing. Amen. So if you'd like to give this morning, we have offering boxes available at the back of the auditorium. So at the end of the service, you're welcome to put a cash offering in there. You can also give through other ways, and they are found on the screen now. And you can also find them in the notice that you received this morning. And I know we've already been blessed with worship and God's presence, but I want to encourage you to get ready to get even more blessed, because Pastor Steve is going to share an awesome, powerful word with us this morning. So enjoy the rest of the service.
Well, good morning, everybody. Morning. Wonderful to see you all here this morning. I tell you, this morning's worship was wonderful, wasn't it? Hey, we love to worship God. This is not about Christian karaoke. Hey, you know what Christian karaoke is? Christian karaoke is where you just sing along with the words. No, we don't do Christian karaoke. Here we worship the living Christ. Amen. I've got a joke for you. It's called Don't Mess with the Elderly. George Phillips, and this is based on a true story, apparently. George Phillips, an elderly man from Walled Lake, Michigan, was going up to bed when his wife told him that he had left the light on in the garden shed, which he could see from the bedroom window. George opened up the back door to go turn off the light, but saw that there were people in his garden and that they were stealing things from his shed. He immediately phoned the police, who asked him, "Sir, is someone in your house?" George said, "No, but some people are breaking into my garden shed and stealing from me." Then the police dispatcher said, "All patrols are busy now. You should lock your doors and an officer will be along when someone's available." George said, "Okay." He hung up the phone and he counted to 60. Then he phoned the police dispatcher again. "Hello, sir. I just called you a couple of minutes ago because there were people stealing things from my garden shed." "Well, you don't have to worry about them now because I just shot and killed them both and my dogs are eating right now." And he hung up. Within 5 minutes, 6 police cars, a SWAT team, a helicopter, 2 fire trucks, a paramedic, and an ambulance showed up at the Phillips residence and caught the burglars red-handed. One of the policemen said to George, "I thought you said you'd shot them." George responded, "I thought you said there was nobody available." Don't mess with the elderly, eh? So we've been doing our series called Much More. And if you've been following us over the last couple of weeks, you would have seen how Dee started the series sharing with us about how big God is, that He's a much more God and He's created so much more than we can imagine. Janu shared how God gives us every perfect gift and that we can live in the blessings rather than going from miracle to miracle. And the Bishop, Derek, last week spoke about our souls prospering so that we can experience life and good health. Remember what he said? So if you've got fraught eggs, it's because you've got a fraught soul. We are too blessed to be stressed. Amen. So how do we get the much more flowing? See, the questions we ask ourselves are extremely important, because if I ask the wrong questions, I'm going to get the wrong answers. Hello? And the enemy loves to get us to ask the wrong questions. And the wrong question to ask is, what do I need to do to access the much more life? That's the wrong question. If I'm asking myself, what do I need to do to get something from God, I'm asking the wrong question. And so many Christians are asking the wrong questions. What do I need to do to get healed? What do I need to do to prosper? What do I need to do to get free from addiction? What do I need to do to be free from depression? Always asking the wrong questions. See, and this is the very question that the enemy got when he asked Eve something. So let's read in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 to 7. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die,' which is not the truth, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. 'And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate.'" Notice Adam was an observer there before he partook. "And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." See, the wrong mindset is for me to ask myself the question, what do I need to do to get something? Or what do I need to do to become something? You see, God, when he created Adam and Eve, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, that he made them in his very own image. Eve and Adam were already like God. Yet the deceiver comes and says, what do you need to do to become like God? And that is the great deception that so many of us fall into when we start to ask the question concerning our identity. And when we don't know what our identity is, we don't know our position, and we don't know what we possess. But when we know who we are, when we know our identity, we know our position, and we know what we possess. But if I'm asking the wrong question, I'm going to come up with the wrong answer. What do I need to do to get something? See, and that's what the deceiver does all the time. What do I need to do to get healed? What do I need to do to get free? What do I need to do to prosper? And when I try and answer that question, I'm already connected to the first Adam. I'm not connected to the second Adam. The wrong mindset is not, what do I need to do to get something, or what do I need to do to become something? That's the wrong mindset, because I'm asking the wrong questions. Christianity is not about trying to do something to become something. It's not about trying to get something that we already have. Christianity is about knowing our identity, to recognize our position, to discover what we already have. Yeah. Let's look at some scriptures in Romans chapter 5 about the much more life. In Romans chapter 5, 1 to 2, I'm reading out the Amplified Classic. It says, therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith. Notice he's talking about your identity here. He's talking about this is who you are. So now, because this is who you are, now you're going to discover your position. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him also we have, so now he's talking about something that you possess. He's saying we have our access, entrance or introduction by faith into this grace, the state of God's favor in which we firmly and safely stand, and let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. So he's saying, here we see our identity and our position, which is you have been made righteous. This is your identity. You've been made as righteous as Jesus Christ is. And because you have an identity, which is the righteousness of God, you can discover your position, which is, and he describes what your position is. Your position is God is at peace with you and you have access to God's favor. So when you know your identity, which is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you begin to discover your position, which is, I am in the midst of God's unmerited favor, and I have access to the very glory of God by faith. The word glory there is talking about God's good view and opinion. So when I know my identity, I know my position, and I begin to discover what I possess. I'm no longer trying to do something to get something. I recognize I am something. I am seated somewhere, and I possess all of heaven's resources. In Romans 5, verse 9 and 10, it says, therefore, since we are now justified, so he continues with this theme. This is your identity. You have been justified, acquitted, meaning you are found to be not guilty in the presence of God because of Jesus, because of what he has accomplished for you, because of his blood washing every sin away from you. You have been created as a new creation, as the righteousness of God, acquitted, standing before God, brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood. How much more? Everyone say, much more. How much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? He's saying, because of your new identity, because of Christ's blood, you have been positioned somewhere new. So right now, you are seated here in Knysna Vineyard. But you know that right now you are also seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, dependent on my perspective, I will be aware either of a carnal reality that we are sitting in church here, or I can have a heavenly perspective and recognize that I'm actually seated together with Christ in heavenly places. That is my position. And I'm seated together with Christ in heavenly places because I've been made new, because I'm the righteousness of God. So my identity has determined my position. And because of my position, I begin to discover what I possess. I'm no longer trying to do something to get something. I'm believing who I am to discover where I am seated, to discover what I possess. See, the much more life is about having a heavenly perspective rather than a carnal perspective. Because the Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be heavenly minded or spiritually minded is life and peace. Zoe, the quantity and quality of life that God has. For me to experience that quality of life means that I need to be heavenly minded. He says, he goes on here, because of that position, I know, he says, that I'm saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God. So from this position, there is no fear. There is no expectation of judgment. There is no condemnation. Because I know who I am and where I'm seated. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled, past tense, to God through the death of his son, it is much more certain, say much more. Now that we are reconciled, past tense, that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. So here, notice what he's saying. He's saying, because of your identity, that you've been made righteous, you have a new position at peace with God, access to the very grace of God, talking about access to the supernatural ability of God, God's empowerment, and you begin to discover what you possess. And what you possess is a life free from the dominion of sin. Yes. Now, he's talking about sin being poverty, sickness, and death. So as I begin to change my perspective to recognize, because I have a new identity and a new possession, because of my position, I no longer have to live under the dominion of sin, sickness, and death. Because I've changed my perspective. Because I recognize who I am. Now, sin is the cycle that we live in where we are conscious of lack. Sin is always trying to communicate to you, you don't have it. Sin is always trying to tell you that you're not enough. That mindset, that carnal mindset, is telling you, you will never be good enough. See, it leads to death. But he's saying, when I change my perspective and I recognize that my identity has been changed, that I'm a new creation in Christ, that I'm as righteous as Jesus is, my whole identity changes, which shows me my position, that there is no separation between God and me, that I have access to the very throne room of God. I understand my position being seated together with Christ in heavenly places, and I begin to discover what I possess. I'm no longer under the dominion of sin and the effects of sin, because I'm now under grace. I'm now under the influence of grace. I'm under the influence of God's ability, because I know where my position is, because I know who I am. And because I know who I am and what my position is, I know what I possess. In verse 17, he goes on, for if because of one man's trespass, talking about Adam, the first Adam, because of his lapse, his offense, death reigned through that one. When I start to identify with the first Adam, death reigns. And we wonder why Christians keep struggling in going through the same cycles, going over and over and over, never experiencing what the promises are of God are, because they are so carnally minded, they are identifying with the first Adam, saying, I'm not healed, I'm not blessed, I don't have what God says I have, I'm not powerful, I don't have a sound mind, I'm anxious and I'm worried, identifying with the first Adam, and it leads to death. Who I identify with determines my position and what I have. If I'm identifying with the first Adam, it will determine my position and what I don't have. But when I identify with the living Christ, the resurrection power of God, and I begin to identify with him being me, because as Christ is, so am I in this world. That my life is hidden with Christ in God. That is my identity and my position in God, that there is no separation. When God looks at me, he sees Jesus. When God sees Jesus, he sees you. See, and when that becomes a part of my perspective, when my position has changed because I know my identity, I start to live the much more life because I'm aware of what I possess. We're still in verse 17, eh? Death reigned through that one. Much more. Say much more. Surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, his unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. Notice, your identity determines your position and determines what you possess. I begin to reign in life like a king. So I begin to understand what I possess, and I begin to reign like a king because I understand my position, because my position is dependent on whom I'm identifying with. And I identify with Christ in me, the hope of glory. And because of him living inside of me, I have access to righteousness as a free gift, and I have access to his unmerited favor or his grace. His supernatural ability begins to flow because I understand who I am. But who I identify with determines what is going to flow in and through me. If I'm still identifying with the first Adam, man, you know what's going to flow through me? Death. But when I begin to identify with the second Adam, Jesus, who came to do much more than what Adam did, how come it's so easy for us to be connected to the old Adam and death? Yet we find it difficult to believe in what Jesus Christ has done and begin to identify with Jesus as our righteousness. See, healing is a byproduct of righteousness. Blessing is a byproduct of righteousness. Freedom is a byproduct of righteousness because it's connected to identity. When I begin to discover my true identity in Jesus, the much more life begins to flow. I'm no longer trying to do something to get something. I now believe something which determines where I am and what I possess. Let's go on. Verse 18. Well then, as one man's trespass, the first Adam, one man's false step and failing, falling away led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and right standing with God and life for all men. For just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness and carelessness, the many are constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. I reign in life because I know who I am. When I know who I am, I know my position and I know what I possess. You cannot stop a righteous person who knows who they are, what their position is, and what they possess. But when I don't know my identity, I don't know my position, and I don't know what I have. But when I know who I am, I know what belongs to me. I'm no longer trying to do something to get something. See, he is the vine. You are the branches. You are not disconnected from the life of God. And the enemy wants to make you think that somehow you've done something to get disconnected from who he is. Yet he lives inside of you. You are in Christ. In Acts 17, it says, in him we live and move and have our being. We are not trying to get connected to get a blessing. We are already in him and have his blessing. We need to change our thinking to recognize who we are, to discover what we have. And when I identify with him, I have all of heaven's resources. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Past tense. It says, because you are in Christ, you are already blessed. The word blessed there means to evoke a blessing or to speak well of. So the Bible says that we speak well of God because he speaks well of us. In the Hebrew, when it's, the Bible says that God blessed Adam, the word there is barak, which means to kneel down and speak of greatness. That your creator kneels down and speaks of greatness because he blessed you. In Colossians chapter 2, 6 to 10, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive Christ? What did you do? Did you fast for 40 days? Did you beat yourself on the back? Did you crawl over glass? What did you do to receive Christ? You believed and confessed. Or did some of you do something else? What did you do to get born again? All you did was believe. And on believing, something, a miracle happened and you became a new creation. Just by believing. He says here, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Instead of trying to do something to get something, walk in who you are, knowing your position and what you have. Instead of trying to get something you already have, just walk in him. As you received Christ, walk in him. Walk in him believing, this is who I am, this is my position, and this is what I have. So many frustrated Christians trying to tick the boxes to try and get something. When the Bible says, as you received him by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man boast, so just walk it out, knowing who you are. Because knowing who you are determines where you are seated and it determines what you possess. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now, and talking about rooted and being built up in him and established in your faith. The word established is talking about being fixed in him. In Ephesians 3, it talks about being rooted and grounded in the love of God, knowing your position. Just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception. Remember with the empty deception we were talking about? Where the deceiver comes to try and tell you that you don't have it and that you are not. That you need to do something to become something. He's saying, beware, be cautious, be alert. That you are not caught up in the same empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Where we get caught up in this asking the wrong questions because I think that I need to do something to get something. Not asking the right question as to who am I, because that determines my position and what I possess. Coming back to identity. But we get caught up in this philosophy and the traditions of men. And Matthew 7:13 says, the traditions of men nullify the word of God. If I continue to believe that way, then it's going to make the word of God of no effect in my life. And then he goes on, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. In Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead dwells. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, manifested in the body of Jesus. And then he goes on and he says, and in him you have been made complete. You see, identity connected to the first Adam makes you feel incomplete. But identity connected to the second Adam, Jesus, the Bible says you are complete in him. You are no longer needing to do something to become something. It says you need to believe something because you are something. The great deception is to get you into works and performance, thinking that that's somehow going to give you access into grace. Yet the Bible says that when you believe, as you've received Christ, as you begin to walk in this place, you recognize that in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, and in him you are complete. You lack nothing. But you see, the thing is, the deceiver wants to get you to think that you lack something. When Jesus is trying to show you your identity, that you lack nothing, complete in him. And then he says, and he is the head over all rule and authority. Who I identify with determines my position. and the much more life. And I have to keep myself in him, in my mind, in my heart. Because if I don't keep myself in him, and I begin to look through carnal eyes, then I begin to feel that I'm being cheated out of life, the much more life. And I can't believe the time.
Keep going.
See, the much more life is a byproduct of your identity. In Ephesians 2:6, in the Amplified, it says, "And he raised us up together with him when we believed, and seated us with him in the heavenly places because we are in Christ Jesus." Your identity determines your position, which determines what you possess. In Colossians 3:1-3, "If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at, seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Where are you seated? Together with him. Verse 2, "And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. If I have died to the old Adam, that means that I have died to sin. I have died to the effects of sin. I've died to poverty. I have died to sickness and death. I've died to anxiety. I've died to all of those things that want to oppress me, telling me that I am not and that I have not. And when I recognize that I'm connected to a resurrected life, the living Christ who now lives inside of me, that my new identity is Jesus. It's not where I was born or where I come from or what my ancestors were." Hello? See, that's a cultural thinking. It's carnal thinking. Paul writes, he says, "I've not been born of the will of flesh or the will of man, but born by the will of God." His identity was not based in where he was born or what family he came from. His identity was based on the fact that I've been born by the will of God, that I've been born again by the Spirit of God. And because I've been born by the Spirit of God, I'm a child of God, where I cry out, "Abba, Father." My identity is now the righteousness of God. I've been raised together with him. I'm seated together with him because I know who I am. I know where I'm positioned, and I now know what I possess, so that I can reign in life, not connected to the cycle of lack, but connected to a much more life, which is connected to my new identity in Jesus. But so many people, what do I need to do to get God to bless me? What do I need to do for God to bless my business? What do I need to do to get healed? What do I need to do to get free from depression? Who I identify with determines what kind of life I'm going to have. If I'm continually identifying with the first Adam, it's going to lead me to death. But when I begin to identify with Jesus as my righteousness, it leads me to the abundance of grace, a supernatural favor. And I begin to discover what I possess in him. I'm no longer trying to do something to get something. I now believe who I am, where I'm positioned, and what I possess. And I'm closing with Colossians 3:10. "And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created me," created him. To know who I am, I look to the one who created me. To know who I am, I look to the one who has created me. And the Bible says that you are his workmanship. That's who you are. His workmanship, created for good works, which he has prepared beforehand. But for me to walk into the good works he has created for me, I've got to know who I am. His workmanship, his love poem. That's the word workmanship, poema. That's who you are. To discover what you have and to discover where you're positioned means you've got to discover your identity. Because who you identify with will determine whether you're going to live in the much more life or not. And I didn't get to points 2 and 3. Won't you stand to your feet? I've got to read the scripture to you in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, the first man was from out of the earth, made of dust, earthly minded. The second man is the Lord from out of heaven. Now those who are made of the dust are like him who was first made of the dust and earthly minded. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heavenly minded. And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we, and so let us also bear the image of the man of heaven. Let's not be carnally minded in our thinking by asking the wrong questions, keeping us connected to a cycle of lack. But be connected to the living Christ. The one who's said that you are righteous. That you're seated together with Christ in heavenly places. That you are complete in Christ. That you lack nothing. To discover what you possess. Carnally minded, heavenly minded. Death, life and peace. Won't you bow your heads? Close your eyes. Maybe you've come to church this morning and realized, man, I've been asking the wrong questions. And God is just reminding you of who you really are. Loved, accepted, adopted, righteous. God is at peace with you. You're forgiven. You're his workmanship. You've been redeemed and bought with a price. You're valuable and precious in the eyes of God. The wonderful thing about Christianity is we grow through repentance. Repentance means change your mind. If you need to change your mind this morning, just humble yourself in the sight of God. And believe what he says about you. If you're sick in your body right now, if you're sick, if you've got pain in your body, no one looking around, just slip up your hand quickly. Just keep your hand raised. Because there's nothing you need to do to get God to heal you. Bible says that by his stripes you were healed. By lifting your hand, you are just acknowledging the fact that you are healed. And so in the name of Jesus, I speak to these sick bodies or pain in these bodies. I command pain to leave these bodies right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to be healed in the name of Jesus. That the Holy Spirit is touching your body right now. Be healed in Jesus' name. You are healed. And Lord, we just give you thanks this morning for your healing, which is present and is healing bodies right now. We command pain, sickness, leave in Jesus' name. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're standing here this morning. You do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe you know about God, but you don't know him personally. The Bible says you must be born again. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. You can never be good enough to get into heaven. The only access into heaven is by making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior and following him. So if you're standing here this morning, I believe God loves you so much that he brought you here so that you could experience his love and receive the free gift of salvation in Jesus, the person. So if that's you, you're standing here saying, man, I need to give my life to Jesus. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you to the front. I'm just going to pray with you. So if that's you, you're saying, yes, Steve, please pray for me. I want to receive Jesus this morning. Slip up your hand quickly so I can see you. And I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Can we pray with those who lifted their hands, those who wanted to? Can we just pray after me? Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I believe you are Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for living in me, for adopting me, and for loving me as your child. Thank you that I'm a new creation. I am righteous because of Jesus. Father, I thank you that all of heaven is rejoicing for those who've responded this morning. There's a party happening. Father, thank you for the reminder that we are healed. We are blessed. We are favored. We are seated together with you. That we are loved with an unconditional love. And we live with sincere gratitude, Lord, that we can walk in you, knowing that we are complete, lacking nothing. Thank you, Jesus, for the much more life. We're so grateful this morning, Lord. Thank you for healing, Lord, and is manifesting in bodies right now. We thank you, Jesus, you love to heal us. We bless you, and we worship you, and we love you, Lord. In your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. We have a ministry team that will be in the front here. If you still are experiencing some symptoms, we'd love to pray with you this morning. If you raised your hand, can I ask you, as you exit the church, on my right-hand side, there's a green sign that says, what now? Please get a book there for you. It's free. We'd love to bless you that. With that, always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Have a great Sunday. Enjoy a cup of coffee. We love you. Have a great week living the much more life.